Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome back to 365 Days with MXM Tune. I'm Maya, a singer, songwriter, TikTok maker, Oakland native, and a real sucker for nostalgia. Today, we have a special episode lined up for you all because, well, it's been a minute. I reached out a bit ago to gather some questions from you guys to answer on today's episode in honor of the Plum Blossom Revisited EP coming out in November. In case you're not sure what that means, well, I can give you a brief rundown. In 2018, I released my very first EP, Plum Blossom, and I did it with very little help and mostly on GarageBand in the middle of the night while my parents were sleeping. Now, in 2023, I realized that there was just a lot that I wanted to do differently, so for the 5-year anniversary, I decided to re-record a handful of the songs from the original EP alongside a few extras, and today, in the spirit of revisiting, I'm back on 365 Days and answering questions from you all.
It's 365 with MXM Tune. New facts every day, so don't leave too soon. I'm gonna teach you stuff, no, it won't be tough. Gonna go a year till you've had enough. It's 365.
Before we dive in, I just want to say thank you to everyone who sent in a question and has listened to my music. It is truly so surreal, it never gets old, that I get to do this every single day. I'm so grateful to you all for making that possible. Thank you for your thoughtfulness in these questions, and let's just dive into it. This first question is from Riley. What made you want to come back to these songs and do something special with them? Okay, great one to start off with. I sang Feelings Are Fatal and Cliche live at pretty much every single show that I've done since the beginning of time. And I realized a bunch of times on stage that I sounded a lot better than the recorded versions of those songs, and I think that there was this piece of me that was like, I really just wish that people could hear the way these songs sound when I sing them live now, because I thought they were exponentially better than the versions that existed for people to listen to online. Because I would go back to the 2017 or 2018 versions of those songs where it was just me and my ukulele, and a lot of times, like, I just really couldn't bring myself to listen to them all the way through. I think now I'm less scared of cringing at younger Maya, but when I was 17 and 16, 18, all of those teenage years, I think there was a piece of me that was trying to sound and make my voice sound a little bit different to fit in some sort of like crazy idea I had for how indie musicians should sound. And as I've gotten older, I've grown more comfortable with my voice, I've grown more confident in my voice, and I think I wanted that to just be expressed through doing revisited versions of those songs. Because I think growth is beautiful, and I want to be able to capture that and share that with you all. Next one is from Michaela. Production-wise, what were you most excited to update or adapt to a newer sound for these songs? And what was your favorite song to develop? Ooh. My favorite thing about going into the studio this time was getting to add cello and also working with a cellist who could execute the ideas that I had in my brain that I couldn't quite get across when I was doing it on my own in my bedroom. So that was really exciting to me, to work with people who are great at understanding someone describe an idea and then executing it. Like, that's the coolest thing ever. My favorite song that we worked on was definitely The Idea of You. I feel like that one flowed so naturally and I had so many ideas, and we were actually able to get all of them down. And I'm so excited that people get to listen to it. This next question is from Kian. What was the idea that prompted you to make Plum Blossom Revisited? Also, what are you reading? If you're currently reading anything, smile. Well, okay. I kind of touched on it earlier, but it definitely was around realizing that my voice has gotten a lot stronger. And then even these kind of minutia elements where I would go on like Genius. I had to go on Genius to look at the lyrics for Cliche. Every once in a while, hey, a girl needs some help. And so I went on to Genius and I realized that someone on like the top comment left for cliche, it was like, sung endearingly out of tune because the ukulele, I recorded cliche on an out of tune ukulele. That song has over, let me check. I don't actually honestly know. Oh my God. Cliche has 83 million listens. And the ukulele is wildly out of tune on that recording. And so I wanted to just like do a better job on a basics level too with a lot of these songs. And so I think that was kind of what prompted part of it. And right now I am reading Yellowface by R.F. Kuang, which has been a phenomenal read. She's a wildly talented author. If you want to check her out, please, please do. Next one from Mango. Which of your songs do you feel is most genuine? Oh man, probably Stuck. I think Stuck has one of my favorite songs because I really do feel like I did a great job of encapsulating the feelings that I was having at that moment in time of being closeted and not knowing how to come out to people I love and just feeling absolutely stuck in my current place in life. And I still resonate with that a lot. I think the song takes on different meanings as I experience life and get older. And I still feel very affinitized with it, which is really great. And I'm proud of myself for making something that has stood the test of time for me. This question is from Jimmy. Given the evolution of your music and considering your significant fan base in Latin America, can we expect a song in Spanish or a tour in Latin America in the future to connect with your fans here? Oh my gosh, I would so, so love that. I dabble in Spanish. I don't know too much. I definitely need to dust off my skills a little bit more because I've been out of school for so long and not taking Spanish classes, but I definitely should kind of become better at Spanish. That way I can have more conversations with you all online in the very least. I would love to go to Latin America. That is definitely on my bucket list of places that I want to visit on a personal level and also from a musical perspective. I've been so influenced by the music that's come out of Latin America and hopefully I can tour there one day and play shows. It's definitely something I want to do. So trust me, it's not something I'm trying to avoid. Touring is just expensive and it's hard to get to places and things fall through last minute, but I definitely want to go. This question is from Amaris. Hopefully I said that right. Hey Maya, what song from Plum Blossom would you say still resonates with you the strongest 5 years later today? Okay, you guys are totally going to cringe. And also it wasn't a song on the original EP for Plum Blossom, but it was the very first song I ever wrote, 1-800-DATE-ME. I think that song still resonates with me. And I put it on the revisited version of Plum Blossom because it is the very first song. I feel like I kind of have to. I'm like legally obligated to put it on the revisited version. But yeah, no, guys, I'm still lonely and single. Some things never change. A song you wrote when you were 16 can still be true when you're 23. This question is from Gracie. How did you feel about your singing voice when you were first writing Plum Blossom? I'm trying to write songs, but I don't think mine is that great. And I'm not going to lie, it's really discouraging. Well, Gracie, I absolutely understand what you mean. I still have days where I don't really know if I really like my singing voice, and I have a hard time connecting the fact that it's me when I'm listening to a song that I've written. But I was not very confident in the way that I sang when I was first writing Plum Blossom. I sang really quietly. I tried to make my voice sound different than it actually did. And I realized over time that as I got more confident and, you know, practiced, I really did become more comfortable in the way that I sounded. Every voice is so unique, and I really truly feel we are our own worst critics every single time. So just stick with it and trust that one day you're going to listen back to something that you make and be like, oh my gosh, that's really good. And I've had so many moments like that where I've gone from that self-hating moment to suddenly realizing that, oh, you know what? I'm actually pretty good at this. And I've been doing singing and music now, I guess, for, oh goodness, since 2016. So it's been around 7 years. I still have days where I feel the way that you described, but I have more days now where I feel more confident in myself. So things change for the better. It'll all work out. Next one is from Carmen. What's the most surprising thing that's happened while being an artist / being on tour? Oh my goodness. I really got to think about this because a lot of stuff happens when you're on tour and a lot of stuff happens when you're an artist. Okay, I genuinely paused recording for a second so that way I could go back and look at my photo albums to see if anything surprising popped up. But the question is like, it's like when someone asks you what your favorite music is right now and then you draw a blank and you literally can't think of anything. It's kind of like that. There has been a lot of surprising stuff that's happened to me when I've been on tour. But I think one of the cooler moments that I've had where it really hit me exactly what I get to do as a musician and travel and everything was when I was in tour last year for Australia shows, and we were in Sydney, and my tour manager got me and my band tickets to go see Leon Bridges at the Sydney Opera House. And it was this crazy worlds collide moment where I was sitting inside of the Opera House, and I had studied that building when I was in high school doing an architecture program. And it was this wild moment where I was like, oh my gosh, I'm at this location that I've studied for years and years before, seeing an artist that I really admire in a city that I never thought I would travel to on the other side of the world. And it really hit me in that moment. It was really, really cool. Next question is from Althea. What would you be as a scent, in parentheses, like a candle? Okay, I think, I don't want to like, you know, brag or anything, but I would say like I'd be like a nice orange blossom. Maybe, I don't know. I've never thought about that before, but now I'm going to really think about it. I'm going to have to ask everybody. Guys, what would I be as a scent? Would you still love me if I smelled like a candle? This question is from Claire. What song are you most proud of from the original Plum Blossom and from the revisited Plum Blossom? I'm so excited. Thank you, Claire. I am most proud of Porcelain from the original Plum Blossom. There was never really a moment where I was like, I need to revisit it and re-record it because I feel like it's perfect. I'm really happy with the way that it turned out. That was one of three songs from the original EP that I was able to work with a sound engineer on named Miriam. And actually Miriam worked on the revisited EP too. So it was super fun to be able to work with someone who has been working with me since the beginning of time. And I think off of the revisited tracks, I'm most proud of The Idea of You. I feel like that is definitely the one that I really love the most. Next question's from Emma. Hi, Maya. I love you. Can you do another room tour? Also, please release the song about Kiki from Kiki's Delivery Service. Okay, there's a lot of layers here. Also, first of all, thank you, Emma. I would love to do another room tour. I probably will when I move next year. I think I'm moving back to California, everybody. I'm going to be on West Coast time again, which means very little, honestly. Just that I'll have more space and have more instruments again. But I'll probably do a room tour before I move from New York. And I would love to release a song about Kiki from Kiki's Delivery Service. If you didn't know, if you're listening to this, I tweeted one time about writing a song about Kiki from Kiki's Delivery Service, who I love very dearly. And there is a song. I don't know how good it is. I'm going to have to, I'll get back to you on that. I don't really know if it sticks out in my memory, but there is one. Next question is from Alex. Hey, Maya, longtime fan of your music. Thank you. Feelings Are Fatal is the best IMO. I was wondering if you have any tips, tricks, or overall advice for someone who's trying to make and put their music out today, especially in terms of getting discovered and bringing in new listeners. This is a good question, and one that I wish I could offer more advice on, because I think a large part of today's landscape of music is so algorithm-based, but I think the best piece of advice that I can give people who are trying to break through and find individuals to connect with online and communities is to just be everywhere. Be everywhere, be everything all at once. I really just use the internet like every other teenager, I think, growing up. And so I was on every single space, whether that was like YouTube or Instagram or Twitter, or I guess it's called X now, or Vine even, and SoundCloud. And so I was just kind of everywhere. And I think that being in those different spaces not only gives you the opportunity to connect with people based off of different interests or the music that you're making, but also really gives you the opportunity to give a good whole perspective of who you are as a person, and in turn helping people connect with you on a deeper level besides just maybe from one piece of content or media. So yeah, I think that's my best piece of advice. This next one is from Francisca. Do you avoid playing the song Birdie? If so, why? Okay, this is a very good question. If you don't know the lore behind the song Birdie, it was just a song I wrote for my senior year thesis in high school. I read a book called Caucasia when I was a senior in high school for my English class, Ethnic Studies. And for our final project, you could write a paper. But I wasn't going to do that. So I wrote a song in a single day, and I turned it in and I got an A+. But I don't avoid singing that song. I think it just does feel like a little bit disconnected, I guess, from the rest of the music that I've made, largely because it was a song that I made for a school assignment. So I'm not actively avoiding it. I guess I just don't really think about it much, I guess, now. But if you love that song, that's really sweet. I'm so glad. Next question is from Samuel. Hi, Maya. So my question is, well, I actually can't say. I do have a real question, but I want to say that I love you and everything that you and your music have done for me over the past 2 years. I can't wait to see you on tour. Oh my God. Okay, well, thank you, Samuel. No worries. You don't need to have a question. I'm just here to chat. Thank you for the sweet words. All right. Next one is from Adam. Will you sell new merch for the revisited album or perhaps reuse some of the old designs? Absolutely. I think a lot of the old designs probably won't be coming back, but we will have updated versions that I think are reminiscent of previous things that we've run. So yes, and I designed, I think, all of the merch this time around, which has been really exciting to work on. So I'm excited for you guys to see it. This next question is from Katie. Where did you learn the term lack of gestalt? I only found out because of your song Blame Game, which is so underrated. Well, first of all, thank you, Katie. And if you don't know what gestalt means, it's basically a word to describe the overall pleasingness of something. So if you have a lack of gestalt, it means that your overall existence or pairing with somebody, in this case, because of the song Blame Game, is not very pretty to look at. And I learned the term because when I was in high school, I studied architecture. I've talked about this, I guess, a few times in various places. But we would get graded on specific things with our assignments. So like technical execution or design efficacy and gestalt. So I ended up learning the term because I would get graded for it. And I ended up using it. So that's how I ended up learning the term. And I used it in the song. I've never heard someone describe a relationship with gestalt as like a guideline. So I liked the idea of using it as like a lack of gestalt being the reason why something has to end, because it's kind of just like when you look at something and you don't like the vibe of it. This next one is from Abigail. Why do you desire to revisit Plum Blossom now? Is it a newer sense of maturity and skill, or just sort of an homage to where you began? Have and will always love your music. Thank you, Abigail. I think it's both. I definitely really do feel like I've matured a lot, whether that's on a personal level or from like a musical perspective. And it totally is to kind of pay honor to where I started as a musician. I owe a lot to the early music that I was releasing. I owe a lot to the younger version of myself that had the bravery to write songs in the first place and share them with the world. And I feel like I wanted to do her some justice by giving her ideas and make these songs really shine the way that I always wanted them to, but never had the tools and vocabulary in the first place. So yeah, I think that's why. This one is from Lena. How to deal with the feeling of growing up and feeling like you're falling behind? Oh, Lena, if I knew, I would tell you. I don't know. I think that I still feel that a lot of times, of just feeling like, I think everybody has their lives together. Everybody has a great sense of self and I don't. But I think that I realized as I got older that everybody feels that way, and everybody feels like we're in this race that we can't stop running against everybody else. And I think that's given me a lot of comfort, just to know that I'm not the only person that constantly feels like she's behind in some capacity. I think talking openly about my experiences in life has really helped me understand that I am not an anomaly in my pacing and timeline. Like, I talk often about how I didn't even have my first kiss until I was 19. I was paying taxes for like 2 years before I even kissed anybody. And that was always something that like really stressed me out growing up, was this feeling like, oh my God, on like a romantic sense, I'm falling behind, on like a friendship sense, I'm falling behind because all of my friends are going to college and I'm not going to college and blah, 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 blah. But I realized in the grand scheme of things, things just happen at different moments and there is no right time to do anything. And that compounded with the knowledge that everyone else is also struggling in the same boat really does help me some days when that feeling is like exponentially larger than I want it to be. So you're not falling behind, Lena. Don't worry. Everybody's life just happens at different moments. Next question is from Naomi. How many pets do you have? I have two. I have two little kitties. They're twins, one named Cranky and one named Spud. I adopted them last year in the fall. Wait. Oh my God, wait. I actually don't remember when I adopted them. I gotta look back at my records, but they've been with me for a hot minute. They're 2 years old now, and I got them when they were 4 months. So they must be, I must have adopted them in 2021. The fact that I can't remember is awful. Great question from Julia. Hi, Maya. What differences have you noticed in your concert crowds over the years, or what have you noticed about people who come to your shows specifically? This is a really good one. I think that I've played shows in 2019. I played like a 3 month long tour then, and then the world shut down. My tours in 2020 got canceled, and then I didn't go out again until 2022. And I think that I've noticed that, at least with my own audience, I feel really lucky that people have been so respectful of me and of each other, which has been really encouraging. But even from like my own perspective, I do see sometimes that there is this disconnect between people and an audience, not realizing that the person on stage is like a real person. I'm not a fan of when people chuck stuff at artists, because I have had stuff chucked at me and hit me in the head before when I've been on stage. So I think that there's sometimes a disconnect with that, but I do feel really lucky that, at least in my own audience, that isn't something that I encounter very often. But I would implore everybody that goes to shows to be respectful of whoever they're going to see and respectful of each other, because it does really impact the experience of somebody's enjoyment of something when, you're not being respectful of the space around you, of the people. So that's what I have noticed. Question from Santiago. Are you excited for The Boy and the Heron? Duh, I'm so excited. I will be set. I will be in that theater the moment it is available to view. I will be set. Check me on Letterboxd at Maya Pog. Next question from Kiara. If you talked face-to-face with 16-year-old Maya, how do you think it would go? What would her reaction be to your accomplishments, experience, and hobbies or interests? Love your music. Thank you. I think she would pee her pants. I think she would think it would be really cool immediately, but then be really confused. And also probably not really actively try to like become a musician in the same capacity. Not that I was actively trying when I was 16. I think that I really just enjoyed doing music and I was putting it online. And I do think that luck was on my side in that capacity. But I think she would think it was really cool. And I also think a lot of my interests as a 23-year-old are very similar to who I was when I was 16. Like, I still love the MCU. I love reading graphic novels. I build Legos. I play a lot of video games. So I think she would be stoked to know that the things that I enjoy are still largely the same. This question is from Amity. What would you say to your longtime fans? I feel like a broken record whenever I say thank you, because I wish that there was a word or ways to describe my gratitude in like a greater way to everybody. But I really just cannot say thank you enough. My life has gone an entirely different path than I ever anticipated it going. You have opened up so many doorways for me on a professional and individual level, ways that like for my family, for my friends, I am so blown away truly by the fact that people care in any capacity. And I hope for as long as I live, I can keep trying to repay that to you all. But I don't know, just thank you. And I don't know what I did to deserve this, but I hope that I can make all of you proud and keep making art that resonates with you, because I truly have no words to describe how much it means that people take the time to listen. So thank you. Ooh, this question is from Tessa. This might sound confusing, so sorry if it is. Don't worry, it does not sound confusing. I've read the question. But where in life did you think you'd be at right now? I'm assuming you mean like if I went back in time and I thought about who I was going to be when I was 23, where would I be? I think I know where I would be. I would have just finished college, last year. That's weird. That's weird to think about. And I was going to go to college for an architecture degree. I don't think I would have stuck with that. I think I would have switched to getting a teaching degree instead. And I'd probably be applying for jobs in schools somewhere in the Bay Area. Yeah, that's probably where I would be. And I don't know, my life hopefully will have many different shapes and forms. Maybe I will be a kindergarten teacher like I've always dreamed of. We'll see. We'll see what happens. But that's where I thought I'd be. This question is from Nadia. What's your favorite movie and TV show? If you can't pick, you can always list multiple. Okay, you got it. I'm going to list multiple. For TV shows, it's probably my go-tos are Community, BoJack Horseman, The Midnight Gospel, Adventure Time, and oh my goodness, I'm trying to think if there's one other one that's not animated. Probably Our Flag Means Death. And for movies, my favorite movies are Everything Everywhere All at Once, classic. The Secret Life of Walter Mitty, Kiki's Delivery Service, and Arrival. Okay, this question's from Ayla. Is it hard being so real all the time? Yeah, Ayla, it's actually so difficult. It's truly, you know, every day is a battle between being fake and real, and I choose the hard path, being real as hell all the time. It's so hard. I'm just kidding. It's actually really easy. And I appreciate you guys accepting me for being silly and goofy all the time. This question is from Sophia. What was it like moving out of home so young? I'm moving away a month after my 18th to study music and I'm so scared. Oh, Sophia, I 100% feel for you. I'm really lucky. I live in Brooklyn. Actually, my brother is my roommate, so we've been living with each other while he's been in school and I've been working here. So I'm really lucky that I have a family member that's nearby me. But I'm not gonna lie, it was hard. And I had a lot of moments where I've cried about being away from my parents, about being away from my family. But ultimately, I think now looking back on the last 4 years of living away from home and moving from my hometown, I'm really grateful for the experience and the challenges that have been presented to me to grow as a person. And I think you'll find that despite the moments of homesickness and feeling scared, that you are going to grow so much and learn so much about who you are as a person outside the context of your family and your home. And it's going to be scary, but it's also going to be really beautiful. And you will grow so much from it. I 100% feel you. I'm sending you so much love, and I know that you're going to kick ass. This question is from Lydia. How did you or do you get over anxiety before performing? You've helped me so much with my social anxiety, and being in front of groups of people makes me so nervous. I can't imagine it. I've seen you in Santa Cruz, SF, and Stanford, and you always put on such a good show and your anxiety seems forgotten on stage. Oh, Lydia. Oh my gosh. Okay. It has been a really long journey to get over my anxiety. And to be honest, I don't think that I'm over it completely. I think that I had to shift my perspective on it a little bit. And I've been in therapy for around 6 years. And so I've had a lot of conversations with my therapist over my relationship with my anxiety. And one of the conversations we had that really shifted my paradigm on it was she asked me, like, what if your anxiety is trying to help you? And my first instinct was to be like, what? Why would it? It's like making me throw up. It's making me nervous. Like, why would my anxiety ever be something that I can view as a tool for help? And she asked me to think about it from this perspective. Your anxiety doesn't want you to get hurt. It doesn't want you to feel nervous. And so it makes you nervous, which is counterintuitive, but it makes you nervous about the things that you care about because it doesn't want you to end up in a situation where, like, you might fail. And I was like, oh, I guess that's true. Like, my anxiety is this, like, mechanism that my brain has developed to try and stop me from harm. And I think that viewing it instead as something that was a indicator of how much I cared about something really helped me bypass a lot of those feelings of like, ugh, it's not even worth trying because my anxiety is going to get the better of me. And instead viewing it as, oh my God, I have a lot of anxiety around this thing. So that means that I really care about doing it. And regardless of the outcome, I'm going to be proud of myself for even trying. And that has helped me a lot, especially when it comes to live shows. But no, it's really hard. And maybe that won't work for you, but that's what worked for me. And but I'm sending you a lot of love because dealing with anxiety has been really hard in my life. And I know it's hard for other people, but it is possible to live with it and to just see yourself improve and live life despite anxiousness. So yeah. Last question is from Amber. Did becoming a well-known singer negatively impact your teenage years? If you could, would you change the age you got famous? This is a really good question. And I have thought about it a lot. I think the answer has changed. between yes and no. When you're a teenager, your sense of self is so easily impacted by the opinions of other people. And I think as a result of being somebody who was posting so much of herself online when she was, I don't know, I started posting when I was 12 years old and I'm now 23. So it's been over a decade of posting my being to thousands and thousands of people. And so I think my sense of self, in ways maybe I don't always want it to be, has definitely been impacted by maybe more so negative stuff that people have said about me online. But I also feel like so much of who I am is intrinsically tied to the experience of being someone who's been sharing who I am online for so many years that I don't really know who I would become had that not happened. But of course, there are days where I'm like, ugh, I really wish I had the space and time to understand who I am outside the context of social media for a longer amount of time before exposing myself to such a large number of individuals every single day. But yeah, I think it did negatively impact me in some ways, but it also really positively impacted me in a lot of ways too. But if none of that was taken into account, I probably would have chosen maybe like 25 as a good age when my brain is done developing and I can like think of myself normally. I probably would have chosen that, but for me, it was 18 and I can't change that, but I'll still be grateful for the experience. And with that, that is a wrap, folks. I am so sorry I wasn't able to get to every single question, but I did read all of them. So thank you to everyone who sent one in. If I had answered every single one, this would be the longest podcast known to man. But maybe I should make that one day. I don't know. We'll see. I would love to do something like this again. So thank you to everybody who sent something in. As always, you guys are so kind and thoughtful and empathetic, and I really appreciated getting to read what you wrote. If you are curious about Plum Blossom Revisited, it is coming out on November 10th and you can pre-save it. I am so excited for you guys to hear the whole body of work and I'm really excited for what's in the future. I'm currently working on LP3, so hopefully that will be something that you will hear next year. But in the meantime, you will get the revisited versions of a lot of the older songs that I wrote in 2017 and 2018. Again, thank you so much. I hope you guys have a wonderful rest of your day, week, month, year. Sending my love and take care.